life flows on in endless song, above earth's lamentation. I hear the sweet though far-off hymn that hails a new creation. Through all the tumult and the strife, I hear the music ringing. It finds an echo in my life. How can I keep from singing?
Some days, don't you marvel that it is possible to sing, to be happy, even to be joyful, above earth's lamentation? Especially on those days when the sun comes lovely on your skin, brightening the whole day, and yet your attention is opened wide and wider to other people's sorrow. For Uzbeks today, for Gulf Coast townspeople, for birds and turtles and fish who are doomed by our demand for that substance which our mother anciently buried out of reach. You know those days when your eyes are opened to others' experience of poverty and hunger unyielding, of violence which shatters the whole trunk of a human's life, of neglect and addiction and disability, and we could go on and on. And yet, we are also able sometimes, at least not always, surely, to be joyful and peaceful. What a mystery. What is this mystery? What is this about joy and mystery that is a fundament somehow deeper than evil? Well, some would fundamentally disagree. The phrase, get real, usually means stop looking at the bright side and look at what's real, the pain, the harshness, the intolerable reality. Our worldview often confronts us with the notion that our happiness seems to be bought with denial or ignorance or both. Some might even argue that evolution has trained us to not confront the real, because if we were to confront it, goes the thinking, we would be paralyzed. We could not function. But I submit to you that that assertion founders in a sea of what I would call you function. Not dysfunction, but you function, good function. Consider, nobody punctured the tires of my car yesterday, and not the day before either, and I think nobody on the whole street had that complaint. All the glass in the windows of this house, look at it, every fragment and particle of it remained intact all day yesterday. Everybody stopped at the light on the corner, the light never malfunctioned. All day long, electricity flowed through the veins of my house and yours. I don't know how it works, but it worked. Not one brick in any house in this part of town gave up yesterday. They were such bricks. The asphalt in the roads continued to hang together all day long, bearing up millions of wheels. The plumbing worked in our homes, in our bodies. Couples made love, and that worked again, more or less. Children by the tens of thousands listened to their parents, and teenagers by the thousands did not listen to their parents, but did so in a way that carefully did not undermine the care that is so carefully nurturing them toward their adulthood through touches and conversations and meals offered and meals taken. Sleep came to almost everyone. Eyes opened after an interval. Millions saw again. That is the sea of you function. Just a tiniest glimmer of it, really. Now, as we have said, some things yesterday and today, some people, some systems, most certainly did fail with hellish consequences. But let's notice that when something breaks, it is easy, sometimes too easy, but easy to identify what has happened. When a chain breaks, you can point to the link. You say, there, that link. And most things that break have something of that character. But when something works, you try to point out what it is that is working. You will never have end. Every single object, to say nothing of the immensity of things like love, is composed of a literally infinite series of chains that are all working. And you cannot single one of them out as the one that is working. But you could, if it broke, show it to be the one that broke. Who has leisure to inventory the infinite abundance of things that work? Goodness and function arising with inconceivable abundance have always been a precious jewel in the heart of the church, which would draw forth praise from the throats and lips of all who worship here. It is for this reason that the service begins in the spirit of praise to God and closes with, you know the word, benediction. That means a good saying. To desire from your heart to praise God for everything. You do not need to believe that God is a mechanic, sticking God's finger in and correcting problems by interfering with nature. I don't believe that. To believe from your heart, to desire from your heart, to praise God, you don't have to have any suspicion of the sciences. Fully can they be embraced as the way to figure out how things work. But still, that spirit of the scientist, that spirit of not knowing how God works can lead us to a full-hearted, full-throated declaration of praise to God for all things. Praise, peace, joy, in the midst of sorrows, these are first and last, this movement of the heart that comes in right relation to creation. It's a humble will to see what is, not with rose-colored glasses, but to see it as it is and to be a servant more than to be served. It is for this purpose, really, that the church's tradition calls us to be a singing church. We learned this pattern from our Jewish forebears. The Psalms are songs, as you probably know. Here and there throughout the text of the Psalms are instructions to musicians. It's no surprise that when Jesus was with his disciples on that last night, and they had shared that last supper, and surely they were grieved, the storytellers say they sang a hymn and went out to the Mount of Olives. Hymn singing is the way, one of the ways that the creature brings herself into right relation with the Creator. In the first century, the writer of Colossians, you heard this morning, encouraged that fledgling church, with gratitude in your hearts, sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God. I don't know what the difference among those three is, but let's do it. Sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God. And Ephesians adds to that counsel, making melody to the Lord in your hearts. This is a thing of the heart. Why sing? Here's Martin Luther on the subject. If you say, hey, Bertie, why are you so gay? You have no cook. You have no cellar. He will answer, I do not sow, I do not reap, I do not gather into barns, but I have a cook whose name is Heavenly Father. Fool, shame on you that you do not sing. You work all day and you cannot sleep for worry. I sing as if I had 1,000 throats. And he goes on, What then shall we say of the human voice, to which naught else may be compared? Music is to be praised as second only to the word of God, because by her, music, are all the emotions swayed. Nothing on earth is more mighty to make the sad gay and the gay sad, to hearten the downcast, to mellow the overweening, to temper the exuberant or mollify the vengeful. The precious gift has been bestowed on humans alone to remind them that they are to praise and magnify the Lord. When natural music is sharpened and polished by art, one begins to see with amazement the great and perfect wisdom of God in God's wonderful work of music. Whoever does not find this an inexpressible miracle of the Lord is truly a clod. Now, here at First Church, we are abundantly blessed with natural music sharpened and polished by artists. Are we not? Partly in celebration of their long and much deserved vacation, which I think is only a week long, at least many of the musicians will be back singing next week, on this day, with them at rest, let us hold our attention for a while on the wonder of music and praise sent from our throats, through our lips. For singing has long been one of the chief spiritual practices of Christians. Why sing? I'm going to invite another Lutheran to speak. Maybe Lutherans know more about this than Calvinists. This one is Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who, writing in that marvelous little book about life together called Life Together, says what he thinks is essential for life together. Here's some words about singing. Why do Christians sing when they're together? Because in singing together, it is possible for them to speak and pray the same word at the same time. In other words, because here in song, they can unite in the word. All devotion, all attention should be concentrated upon the word in the hymn. The fact that we do not speak it but sing it only expresses the fact that spoken words are not adequate to express what we want to say, that the burden of our song goes far beyond all human words. And yet we do not hum melodies. Interesting point. We sing words of praise to God, words of thanksgiving, confession, and prayer. Thus the music is completely the servant of the word. Now, I'm aware that many people feel that it is just not cool to sing. Perhaps they think ill of their own voice. Perhaps singing draws out more emotion than one cares to express publicly. Perhaps another person would no more want to be heard singing in public than seen dancing. Someone else might feel that this behavior seems too much like a herd mentality. Individuality suppressed, all voices joined in feelings and thoughts that aren't being tested and tried individually because we're rushing headlong to a tempo with a tune that we did not invent. Perhaps they want to preserve their individuality, and perhaps someone feels that to sing is too much like that believing innocence of childhood, which is no longer mine. All of that and more is understandable, but all of it misses the wisdom of the spiritual practice of singing. The spiritual wisdom of the practice of singing lies in this. One way or another, the aim of the church is to lead you and me to give something up, to offer something of ourselves. I mean, to abandon something, to give it up in that sense, and also to give it up in the other sense. To stop worrying about something, my pride, my voice. To let go, to step freely and trustingly into the river of reality and abundance. and to give thanks, even in the midst of sorrows, be they yours or those of peoples and animals you long for. That is what it is to sing, to not hold back anymore, to not worry that you are becoming part of something great, something incalculable and inconceivable, something you cannot control, something into which you are given, to let your heart open with your mind, to feel vibrations in all of your body. For some of us, the singing is really, and the movement that might go with it, one of the most embodied parts of the whole worship service. To surrender to this mystery of being a creature who beholds, who feels her Creator, his Father. The simple fact is that if with your whole life you should manage to win the battle to preserve yourself separate and intact, then you lose. That's a really basic scriptural affirmation of our Lord. Whoever wins loses. Those who lose win. Singing in the congregation is one of those gentle, persistent ways that the church has taught us for thousands of years to be its willing servants, how not to save yourself apart, but to take part, to give up, that you may receive from God's hand life that nobody could create. We have seen, most especially in the middle of the last century, how powerful, powerful even to move mountains, are the joined voices of the faithful in a movement for justice and peace. Sometimes I think, as I look at the injustices against which movements are formed today, I think that no movement, whether of right or left, will ever really move anything unless the movers have a song in their heart. A song in 1,000 voices or 10 times 1,000 voices. Fortunately, for those of us of a certain mind about society, song does not readily mix with fear and hatred. But song sooner mixes with yearning and lament, with hope, with love. God be praised. Therefore, sing, O church, sing. Be your hearts and minds aflame with compassion for the wretched of the earth, or with righteous anger for the injustices of privilege and power, such as we see displayed on the television every day. Be your own life heavily burdened with cares you know not how to bear. Sing with assurance that peace and joy are your spiritual birthright at all times. Sing with hope that we who through sorrow and joy still raise our voice in song are once more being made into a movement to turn the earth from its shadows into the light. All this summer long, I encourage you more and more freely to sing. Come with offerings of songs that you want to share or that you want to learn. Each Sunday, the last hymn, you will be choosing it, including today. So get yourselves ready. And if the Spirit moves you in the middle of the service, maybe there's a way that you can teach us and show us a song in other places in our service. Let us arise with song in our hearts. Let us, by all means, learn more musics from all over the world. And whatever we do, in word or in deed, let us do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God this Father's Day through him. Amen.